Chapter 1. Darby. The end. I held my breath as I stared at those words, as if a single exhalation could blow them right off the screen. They were so small, just 6 little letters, but their significance was enormous. Time seemed to stand still as I admired the very shape of that sentence. Tall letters on the outside, short letters on the inside, a space right in the middle. It looked like a smile that was missing a front tooth. I smiled back at it, lost in the moment, until the subtle blink of the cursor at the end of that sentence reminded me that time was most definitely not standing still. And based on the encroaching darkness of the woods and the pinks and corals sliding down the sky behind them, I didn't have much of it left. Once I saved my final edits in at least 15 different places and emailed them to my publisher, I closed my laptop and waited for my bleary, aching eyes to adjust to the soft lighting and dreamy colors of Glenshire Loch at sunset. The view was stunning on a regular day, but after staring at the harsh blue glow of a computer for hours on end, it was absolutely delicious. Perfect, really. I was in my favorite place, sitting on my favorite bench, which had been carved for me by my favorite person, doing my favorite thing. Okay, maybe my second favorite thing. And thanks to my agent, I was actually going to get paid for it. I could still see the announcement in Publishers Weekly. Abelman Publishing Group bought Darby Donovan's debut middle grade series, Legend Has It, in a preemptive 4-book agreement. The series is a collection of spooky fairy tales based on the folklore of Glenshire, a mysterious farming village in County Kerry, Ireland. Kate, Kellen's mom, had been so excited that she printed it out and framed it for me, causing me to immediately burst into tears. No one had celebrated an achievement of mine since my own mother had passed away. I'd forgotten how amazing it felt. Kellen, on the other hand, was having a much harder time accepting Kate's love. After she'd abandoned him at the age of 5, leaving him in the care of the sick, sadistic priest who'd impregnated her, Kellen would never fully trust Kate again. He couldn't. It didn't matter that she had been a child herself with no one to turn to, and no idea that Father Henry would actually keep him rather than put him up for adoption. After everything he'd been through, the damage was done. But Kate kept showing up week after week, with a smile on her face and a fresh box of pastries in her trembling hands. I knew the hug she wanted was from him, but the one she got was always from me. She'd lost a child and I'd lost a mother, so whenever we embraced, it felt like a fresh bandage being wrapped around an old wound. Plus, having a bakery owner for a mother-in-law was a nice perk, especially considering the sugar cravings I'd been having recently. I smiled, picturing the white stick with 2 pink lines on it that I'd hidden in my bathroom drawer that morning. I'd wanted to tell Kellen right away, but he was out, making deliveries at the time, and I had edits to finish, so I'd decided to wait until I could tell him in person. When I'd told him that I wanted to try for a baby once I graduated from college, I'd expected him to ask for more time. We were still young, and after everything he'd been through with both of his parents, I didn't expect him to be too eager to become a parent himself. But, much to my surprise, Kellen had said yes. Actually, he'd pulled me into his arms, kissed the top of my head, and held me like that for what felt like an eternity. So, it hadn't been a yes exactly, but it hadn't been a no either. I knew Kellen was scared to be a father, but the past was finally behind us. We'd finished turning the barn into a workshop for him. He was making good